I want you to see Genesis 39. It's a great chapter for young people. I told you sex is the greatest pressure that young people face. And look at Joseph, who never went to a youth meeting, who never had a Bible, not filled with the Holy Spirit, didn't know anything about forgiveness of sins, not even living with his parents. His parents are hundreds of miles away in some other country. He's a prime target for Satan. No Bible, no father, mother, living in a strange country, pretty woman trying to tempt him. Boy, if there's anyone who's liable to fall, it's that one. And look at him standing. He says so many times this woman, verse 8, Genesis 39, 8, he refused and said to me, his master's wife, when she finally came to him, "Behold, with me here, my master doesn't concern himself. There's no one greater," verse 9, "in this house than I. And I have everything in this house, Mrs. Potiphar, except you. But you are his wife." And what does he say? He doesn't say, "Oh, no one's looking." He's not bothered whether no one's looking or not. "God is looking at me." Imagine a young 17-year-old tempted by a pretty girl. And he says, "God is watching me right now. How can I commit this great evil and sin against God?" Remember those words by heart. Memorize it. How can I do this great evil and sin against God? Young people, whenever you're tempted, remember what you heard me say this evening. The words of Joseph, Genesis 39, verse 9. How can I do this great evil and sin against God? When you're sitting in front of the computer and there's nobody around and you're tempted to go to that site where you know you can satisfy your lust and put images into your mind that will remain in your mind for the next 50 years and which will come out in dreams even after you've repented, even after you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll have those dreams coming and haunting you at night, I'll tell you. And you will struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle 25 years after you're finished with internet pornography, wishing, "Oh, I wish I hadn't seen it. I wish I hadn't seen it. It's polluting my dreams tonight. I gave up internet pornography 25 years ago and it's torturing me today." You will face that. I'll tell you. Fight it. And say to that temptation on the computer, "How can I do this great evil and sin against God?" Here he was going to sin against a woman. When you watch pornography, you're sinning against yourself. You're destroying yourself. Yeah, Joseph could have had a little pleasure, a few moments of pleasure. Do you know that nobody could mess up Joseph's life? Potiphar's wife accused him falsely, locked him up in jail. But that was also God's plan. In jail, he meets Pharaoh's cupbearer. And God is trying to introduce him to Pharaoh and says, "How can I get this fine young man to meet Pharaoh? It looks as if the only way is put him in jail. I'll get him to meet Pharaoh's cupbearer and then he'll get an introduction to Pharaoh." If Joseph had not gone to jail, he'd not have met Pharaoh's cupbearer. You don't have to worry about people accusing you, even putting you in prison. Falsely accused. What all he went through. You know, sometimes we complain about the problems we have. Compare your problems with Joseph's. Sold as a slave, falsely accused, imprisoned, even though you're a God-fearing person, and he has no complaint. I'll tell you how he has no complaint. In prison, one day, he saw two people sitting gloomy. You read that in Genesis chapter 40, verse 6. Joseph was sort of moving around the prison, looking at all the prisoners. And he saw these two fellows looking all gloomy. He didn't know who they were. And look at his concern. He says, "Hey, fellas, why are you so sad today?" Verse 7. If there was anybody there who deserved to feel sad, it was Joseph himself. Unfairly treated, his father and mother so far away. But he's forgotten about his problems. He's thinking about the problems of others. Boy, I wish we had some young people like that, who forget about their own problems and are concerned about others. Why are you looking so sad? Have you ever asked that question to anybody in your school or college? You've never seen a sad person in school or college? Have you ever thought of going up to that person and saying, "Hey, are you having a problem? Can I help you, encourage you, pray with you?" That's the type of person God says, "I got a plan for that man. I got a plan for that girl. She has a concern, or he has a concern for others, even when he's facing so many problems himself." Don't be all so taken up with, "My father doesn't treat me right. My mother doesn't understand me." Forget it. Think about the sorrows of others and you'll have a ministry. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Do something for the Lord. Say, "Lord, I'm available." I remember I was in a church once when I was about 21 years old. I knew very little of the Bible, but I knew a little bit. I knew about salvation and a few other things. And there was a family that was coming from a great distance away. We don't have cars, you know. I didn't even have a scooter those days. And it was way outside the town, and there was a train that would go once in a while over there, and nobody wanted to go and visit that home and have a weekly meeting there on Saturday. I said, "I'll go." Because there'll be only 3 people in that meeting. Who wants to travel such a long distance and take a train on a Saturday evening when there's so many other interesting things I could do, and go and spend talking to 3 people? I said, "I'll go." And every Saturday, faithfully, I would get into that train and go to that house and sit with that family of 3 or 4 people and teach them the gospel. The little I knew, I was like a kindergarten student teaching ABC to some illiterate people. That's all. I couldn't teach them high-sounding stuff, but I could teach them the simple elementary truths of the gospel. That family is following the Lord today. I met them. And their children. So I see that you can do that, brother, sister. Don't look for some fantastic ministry. Look for someone in need. It's not that I didn't have any problems. But I said, it's wonderful. You get freed. You get so happy when you have tried to help somebody else lift their burdens. And so Joseph, though he had so many problems, he went to someone and said, "Why are you looking sad?" If he had not asked that question, he would have never made contact with Pharaoh's cupbearer, and he would not have made contact with Pharaoh. Do you know what you have missed in your life? By not seeking to help some needy person you saw. Why are you looking sad? And you know the rest of the story, how that finally introduced him to Pharaoh. And when he was 30 years old, when Joseph was 30 years old, he became ruler. You read that story over all of Egypt next to Pharaoh.